Welcome to the Abbot Lou Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
All right, how are we doing? What a great time of worship. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. The title of my message today is called Hope in Suffering. Yay. Everybody's so excited about this message. You're like, this sounds painful. Yes, okay. It's going to be painful. But it's going to be good. It's going to be good. My hope today is that you learn to look at suffering and trouble and difficulty in your life differently than you have in the past. And this is one thing that we all have in common, right? We might not all believe the same things. We might not see everything eye to eye or come from the same place as far as our life experience, background, whatever. But the one thing that we do have in common is our humanity. Is that we're all human. We're all real people, unless there are, you know, robots in here that... Never mind, that's a stupid sci-fi joke. It's not possible yet. So, listen... We all have real feelings. We all have real lives. We're real flesh and bone. And each one of us has a life experience that comes with a road of trouble, road of hardship and suffering. Even though it's all different, it still all hurts and it's still all real. And the thing that we bring to God in the midst of all of this trouble is just ourself, right? And when we can learn to do this, And look at our suffering and our trouble from a more biblical perspective, rooted in understanding who God is in our life, it's going to really help us. And one of the things that I think is one of the most important factors in your Christian walk and my Christian walk that we can keep doing and that we can stay focused on, and that is growing. Growing in our Christian walk. You know, one of the worst things we could do is get stuck. Are you with me? Like, just get stuck and then we're paralyzed somewhere and we're not able to move on. We were talking about forgiveness and repentance, and we're laying a foundation of all that with humility, helping us move on in life. Those are some messages we were just tackling a few over the last month. But this message really is being able to look at the struggles and the hurts and the troubles in our life from a new perspective. From, I think, a kingdom perspective and a perspective centered in a trust relationship with Jesus, that helps us look at that differently and helps us move on, keep growing, right? Growing in intimacy, growing in our relationship with the Lord, but growing in our character. Amen? Sound exciting now? So my hope is that you, me, we will all get a revelation about the suffering and the trouble in our life. And somehow be able to do what the Bible says here, and it says that we will rejoice in that suffering. That's crazy. That's crazy. One of the things I want to encourage you to do is that you tell yourself the truth about yourself. One of the most important things, if we're going to do this, is that you and I, we look at our trouble, we look at our suffering, we look at ourselves and our humanity, and we realize that we're really real, and we take the opportunity to tell ourselves the truth, and that it's okay that we're really human. You know what I'm saying? Because one of the ways that we will not be able to make it in through our suffering is if we're not willing to tell ourselves the truth. We're not willing to really look at where we're really at and say, this is really hard. And when things are really hard, what do we need? We need God. We need God. And that's the focus of the message today in our hope in suffering. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by works. No, that's a lie. Come on now. You with me? Where are we? By faith. Right? By faith, not by works. Ephesians 2 says not by works, but by faith we have been saved. Right? So therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight, not by how hard we work, but by our faith, right? Our faith. We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, our personal Lord, has done for us. Not what we have done for ourselves. Because of our faith or trust in Christ, it has been brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing in God's glory. We can rejoice too. When we run into problems and trials, hallelujah, for now, right? For we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. What a beautiful promise. For we know how dearly God loves us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your word. Lord, I'm asking You open our hearts and our minds, and God, open, just renew our minds today to help us see our life from a new perspective. God, a heavenly perspective. Lord, that You will begin to penetrate into our heart and help us grow today. We won't get stuck. Lord, but in the midst of our suffering and our trial, God, we will see our need for You. God, in the process and in the end, God, we will be more intimate and closer to You, Father. We need You. We need You today and every day. And God, I'm asking that today You'll pour out Your wisdom. Father, we need Your wisdom today to just change our life and help us grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. You got to have humility, right? If you don't, if you and I, we don't have humility, then when suffering comes, what do? We figure it out on our own, don't we? When we don't see ourselves as a person or beings that are needy, and because of our pride, we feel like we can just figure it out and do it all on our own, then what happens is we don't need God and we push other people away, right? And we push the opportunities that other people could come and help meet our need, or the opportunity for God to come reach into our very life right now and begin to help us. Amen? I'm telling you what, every time we get off track in our life, if you look back in your life, you're going to find a place where you stopped choosing God or needing God. And it usually is the recipe for most of, times of despair or times where we're really struggling in our life. Because it's not that hard things aren't going to happen and we're going to, have to endure them. You with me? It's about how do we get through them, right? And what's the point? I mean, is there really a point in the midst of our suffering? Is there really some sort of greater, purpose that we could suffer? And I believe there is. I believe the Bible's pretty clear about what we ought to do in our suffering. Now, I'm not talking about God bringing suffering to us or trials or tempting you, because we know the Bible says that God doesn't tempt people, right? Amen. Come on now. There's plenty of trial in our life. This just happening because people are making mistakes and the life isn't perfect for us to not blame God for it. Okay? So just encourage you, don't get stuck there wondering did God do this or not. It doesn't really matter. It's not the point. The focus of our life is how do I thrive through the midst of this trial? How do I and where do I go to in the midst of this trial? So here's one of the things that suffering does. Trials do, is they really expose a few things. And one of the main things that it exposes in our life is, where do we go in our trouble? Right? When you are in trouble, what do you run to? And it also exposes in the process of troubles and trials and the process that happens through our suffering, it also exposes some things inside of us, doesn't it? Like what's really going on in us. Daniel chapter 3. If you open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3, we find Nebuchadnezzar makes up this giant altar or statue to himself, and everybody's supposed to bow down and worship this thing. And if they don't, he says, look, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. It's going to be awesome. Right? Everybody knows Nebuchadnezzar was a man of his word. And I promise you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, key figures of the story that we're going to talk about today, these guys knew exactly what King Nebi was possible of, okay, what he was going to do. And they knew when he said, we're going to stoke up that fire and chuck people in it if they don't bow down to it, they knew he was going to do it, all right? So we find these guys caught up in the midst of this story. And in verse 16, we see them make this really great statement. Of course, the time comes when everybody's supposed to bow down and they don't do it because they serve the Most High God, the God that we serve. And so in verse 16, chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego reply to Nebuchadnezzar, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us." This is kind of amazing. "He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up." Isn't this amazing? Here's one of the first things we've got to keep in perspective is, who is our God? Where do we go in our trial? Do we run to our bank accounts? We run to our, maybe it's our family networks. Maybe it's our jobs. Maybe it's our titles, positions. What do we run to when we're desperate, when trouble comes? Maybe we push everybody away and we isolate ourselves to figure it out on our own so we can grind it out, right? To prove to everybody, I can do this. I should be able to do this. I ought to be able to do this. But see, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these guys, they knew who their God was. And they knew that they're going to win no matter what. You with me? Whether God comes and rescues them or they die in the fiery furnace, they realize they win. And you and I have to realize that our road to victory in Christ is about learning to live in that need. Are you with me? It's learning to live in that need. God, above all things, I don't need my life to be perfect, but what I do need is, in the middle of my fiery trial, I need you. You're my God. You're my source. Nothing else. I'm not going to anything else first but you. Come on. No matter how bad it hurts, no matter how terrible it really is, this is where we find our life. And our suffering, our trials expose our genuine need for our Creator. That's a good thing. So we start looking at how in the world can I rejoice when I run into problems and trials? So when I get into this problem or trial, all of a sudden I'm like, hey, I can find joy in the midst of this trial. I'm not trying to pretend like it isn't real. Like there are some veins of Christianity and some doctrine that teaches that, you know what, we just have to have faith. If we just have faith, and enough faith, and big enough faith, then God is going to rescue us from these things, and these bad things, and suffering isn't going to happen. And then I'll be happy. Then I'll have joy, because I didn't have to go through all of that. That is not the Christian life that God has called us into. Look, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got it. They're like, hey, God can do this. But even if he doesn't, he's still God. I still win. He's going to show himself to you. And you know what? That is the only way out of this furnace. The only way out of this furnace is if we need God. And we lean on him and we trust him. You know what I'm saying? Come on. We got to make sure we never lose sight of that. We start losing sight of that. We start losing perspective. And we start to really struggle. Right? Things start to get shaky and we can start to panic. You know? When we start panicking, we start making decisions that aren't healthy for us. And we start to kind of unspool and we'll end off, you know, in different ditches. Either hyper-religiosity, trying to cover all of our pain with, trying to do everything right, or we end up in all kinds of, you know, sinful type behaviors that trying to medicate all of that hurt or wound or that we got going on in our life, rather than, and that leads to all kinds of destructive stuff too, rather than just, God, I want to abide with you no matter what is happening. I want to learn to rejoice in the midst of this trouble, because I know in the end, it's going to produce something good in me. Like Romans says here, that it's going to produce character, deep kind of character that strengthens the confident hope of our salvation. Man, that's the kind of character I want to live in, right? We see further on here in Daniel chapter 3, verse 19, Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. I've seen that happen before. Yeah, in the mirror. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and their garments. Good thing they were in pants. Then, because the king in his anger demanded that a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers they threw the three men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. But suddenly Nebuchadnezzar jumped in amazement and claimed to his advisors, "Didn't we tie up the three men and throw them into the furnace?" "Yes, your majesty, we certainly did," they replied. "Look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see 4 men unbound and walking around in the fire unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god." Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flames of the furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. Then the high officers and officials, governors and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their heads was singed and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. Man, wouldn't that be great to come through a trial and not even smell of smoke? No bitterness, no resentment. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him." Come on. You and I, when we end up in trials and troubles, every once in a while, right? These happen to us. No, every day. Every day, some of your expectations are not met. And you have an opportunity to be disappointed. I have an opportunity to be disappointed. It just happens. Each day, each opportunity is an opportunity. A struggle or trouble is an opportunity for you and I to respond in trust and allow God, through the process of helping us through our struggles, helping us through our trials, to grow our character, to grow our need and our intimacy with God. Who do we find in the midst of the furnace? We find Jesus in the midst of our trial. Here's one of the great benefits of why you and I can rejoice in our suffering. When we start to see something hard happen, we go, "Look, I know this is going to be hard. I'm not going to lie to myself or to everybody around me and pretend like it's not real and cover it up. Look, this is going to be terrible. But I know when I get thrown into this furnace that I'm going to meet Jesus there, because I need him, and he's going to show up because he promised he would. And he's a good and faithful God who understands your weakness." Hebrews says that he's a God that understands our weakness because he's been there. And guess what? He's been there because he wants to. Not because he has to, but because he wants to. That's how much he loves you. You're worth it. You're worth it for him to come into this world and become a man and humble himself and live and die perfect, sacrifice himself for you so that you could have eternal life. You're worth it. You're worth it for him to come into your furnace and be there with you in the middle of your trial. Man, what we need is to realize that trouble, to see that trouble and embrace it embrace it and say, God, I'm not blaming you for bringing this trouble to me, but I'm thanking you that you're here in the midst of my trouble. You are here in my need. And I can rejoice when it begins, because my hope in the suffering is that I'm going to have more intimacy with God. That's good. Who wants to be closer to Him? Who wants to know Him more? Look, the way we know Him more is when we bring our broken heart in our weakness, the Bible says. Let's read it. In our weakness, we are made strong. 2 Corinthians 12:9. But He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. And when we have peace that passed all natural understanding. Okay? Look, this is how we truly get into real intimacy with God. And we're in our worship times, when we're in our prayer closet alone with God, this is what we need to be bringing to Him. Right? Not just all of our God do this and God do that. Those are fine. But truly, if we want intimacy with God, we have got to allow Him. We've got to lean on Him in the midst of our fiery trial. And that's where He comes. Man, and the more we know Him, all of a sudden we see Him help us through our trouble. God just starts to develop that character, that deep strength within us. And it's unshakable. You know, when you've been through something hard and you have to go through it again, you know how you feel about it? You're like, okay, I don't want to do this, but I know I can. You know what I'm saying? So I get a phone call just a couple nights ago, 3 a.m. It's our maintenance guy, Steve Tandy. God bless Steve Tandy. He calls me at 3 a.m. And I know it's never a good thing when Steve calls me at 3 a.m., right? He goes, church is on fire, man. This is not going to be, I don't know how big it is. I don't know what's going on. Fire department's coming. You probably should come. You're right. No, he knew it. He knew I needed to come. So I get all my gear on and I'm like driving down here and I'm thinking, I can't do this again. You know, our church collapsed like a year and a half ago. I'm thinking, I can't do this again. But then inside I go, well, I know what to do. I know. We're going to have to trust God, right? In a real fiery trial here. And I had no clue how big it was. Obviously, you didn't see it. You don't notice it, right? It was just a small fire in our auditorium, our collapsed area. Freak heater up against some boxes, fire. So fortunately, it was all under control, and we got through it. A little smoke, you know? Hey. I'm just so glad it didn't burn down. I don't know, man. I couldn't do that. Oh, Jesus. I'm like thinking I quit. I'm driving here going, I quit. I'm not doing it. I wouldn't quit. I would want to, but I wouldn't do it. Because you know how hard it is. But then at the same time, I'm thinking, I know who I'm calling here. I know what I'm doing next. If it's this bad, I know what I'm doing there. Blah, 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 blah. You know? Because I've been there. I just did that. In fact, we just got done. Mostly done. So there's a strength in your character. You know what you can do as you've leaned and trusted on God, right? Another really cool thing is like, you know, you start to understand the older you get and the more life experience you get and the harder things you've been through, that pain is relative. When it's the worst pain you've ever felt, it's just the worst pain ever. Your kids doing dishes. Worst pain ever. You're like, really? That's the worst pain ever? Okay, we got some more life to happen here, don't we? You know? You got to stub your toe a few more times, you know? And then as life goes on, you know, we realize, especially as we're connected as a body, how much we all really go through. It's a lot. It baffles me. Probably one of the things being a pastor that really amazes me and is so, you know, it's like hard and sad at the same time is very encouraging and full of hope that like God can get us through all this stuff. It's amazing. And to watch people make it through stuff and still trust God and see God like really moving in their life. You're like, how are they doing that? That's where we really start to understand this passage that says, you know, God gives us peace that passes all understanding. Like surpasses anything we could imagine. Because when we need God in our trial, He shows up. And we can rejoice in that. God, I know this is the worst thing that's happened to me. I know worst things have happened to other people. But that doesn't change the fact that this is the worst pain I've ever experienced. And I don't like it. Right? It's relative to who you are and where you're at. And that's just fine. God is so big, it's okay. He's big enough to love you right where you're at. And this is the thing that we miss out is if because someone else's pain has been worse than ours, we say, well, I shouldn't feel this way. I shouldn't really. What am I complaining about? You know, that person grew up in another country where people ran around killing everybody, right? That's way harder than having to do the dishes. Right? Well, sometimes there's real pain, you know, beyond just like suffering of having to do chores that young people experience or we have experienced through our life that we'll minimize. When we minimize it, we're telling God, I don't need you there. We miss the opportunity for God to meet us in our fiery trial, even if it's, you know, not as hot as the other guy's trial. So what? You still need God. I need God. And then thank God you didn't have to go through a hotter trial. But you don't know if you're gonna. So the fortification of our character through the process of fiery trials and trusting God in the midst of our troubles and our suffering prepares us for greater suffering. Oh, yay. Hallelujah. Some people make it through life without having like enormous fiery trials. Don't know if I've met one yet, but I'm just going to say it's out there. But the development of our character and the fortification of our character and the growth of our character through needing God and the process of suffering and hoping in the end that I'm going to be more intimate with God at the end prepares us for when these giant things come in like a humongous wrecking ball out of nowhere and just blow up our life. Helps us be prepared. That God, I've done something like this before. I've hurt before, and I've trusted you in that. And I know, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I need you first, right? I need you first. And I know that God, when I need you and I trust in you, I don't have to know everything, right? But I know that you're going to be with me. And I know at the end, I'm going to be closer to you because of it. Great passage here. And we're going to wrap up the message with this passage, but consider it pure joy. James chapter 1, verse 2. Pure joy. What? I say what? Consider it pure joy. That means like it's not tainted with anything else, right? Like it doesn't have any kind of impurities or any kind of other things in it. It's like 100% joy. My brothers and sisters, ladies, you're not out of this one. Whenever, that means all the times, right? You face trials of many kind. Wow. Because you know that the testing, you know, when you've been through it, you know intimately, not the kind of knowing like, oh, I know about this, that puffs up my head and makes me think I know all the right answers or whatever. No, I know Jesus because He came and met me in my fiery trial. He was in the furnace with me, and now I know Him, that kind of know. I know that when I go through this testing and these trials, it produces perseverance. My faith and trust in God produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. One of the things I want to encourage each one of us to do is to not rescue other people from their fiery trials, especially our children. Amen? Now, I got kids from 17 down to 4. So I've got kids in all kinds of different life ages and stages. and they're all going through different little trials and things. And you know what we like to do as parents a lot of times is just helicopter around and medevac our kids out of their pain, don't we? Just fly in, just superhero rescue them because we've been there, we know what to do. So then we just like fix it all and make it all good and we take it all away. But guess what we rob our children of? Life. Pain. Suffering. You're like, why would I want to do that? Character. Intimacy with God. Man, do you want your kid to never experience pain or to have intimacy with God? You choose. What do you want? What do I want? Okay, I have 6 children. I am freaked out every day. Give me a break. Dude, I wake up afraid. My kids are going to get up. They're going to be in a peanut butter fight or light their underwear on fire or defecate on things. Who knows? I'm just saying. 4 boys. They do stuff. They do stuff. My poor wife, her life is never perfect. It can't be perfect. And every day she's going to be disappointed. It's just going to happen. Somebody's not. I mean, could you imagine if every day your kids woke up to their own alarm and got themselves ready for school? Goodness. The whole rest of the day could be a disaster and be like, praise Jesus. He met me in my fiery trial. Alarm clocks. Good night. Well, there's 6 of them. Somebody doesn't do it every day. It's not the same person, but, you know. You're going to get disappointed every day. What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? Right? Who are you going to run to? Where are you going to find? You don't have to know everything to do in your trial. You don't have to rescue people from their trials and basically steal from them the intimacy with God, the character development they desperately need. But listen, when you're vulnerable and you're open, you can be who you are and know that it's okay for you to need God. Then they know that they can come close to you and you can come close to them when they're in their trial and you can be there in the furnace with them. You can be there with them like Jesus is with them. In your human way, right? Not in the divine way that only He could do. But then we can be there with them and not have to fix everything and have a solution for them. But we can love them right where they're at. Man, what kind of community would that be like to be a part of? Wherever you're sharing something with somebody, they're not just trying to fix you all the time. They're like, man, that's hard. I'm sad for you. That makes me sick to my stomach. You know what? I love you. I want to be here with you and help you any way I can through your trial, not rescue you from your trial. Because I want to see you grow in intimacy with God. And we're going to trust that God is going to get us through these. Right? Yeah. Man. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives it generously to all without finding fault. And it will be given to you. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Because having stood the test, that person receives a crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Man, you know what? Here's the best thing. Best advice I can give to you outside of I know I need God is I don't know jack about what to do. Come on. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do next. There is no perfect road, no perfect like preparation for being a parent. You wake up, you're a parent, you're like, I don't know what to do. You're honest with yourself, right? Man, some of the things have been going on around here, hard stuff. I don't know what to do. But man, I do know who knows what to do. I know who knows what to do. And God, you say that if I ask for wisdom and I lack wisdom, I just need to know I lack wisdom or I don't ask. You're right? So gosh, let's know we need God. Let's know that we don't know. And let's know that we need Him to show us what to do. And not everything, not the whole plan. He's not that kind of God. He's a God that wants you to need Him today and tomorrow and the next moment and the next moment. So it's like this. Lord, I need you now. Give me wisdom. Right? Give me wisdom in this situation. Just show me where to put my foot next. That's all I need. And then I'm going to trust you. It's firm. God, show me where to put my foot next. That's it. God, give me wisdom for that. Amen? Right? Some of you today, it might be the first time, the first decision in your suffering, in the midst of your trial, the best decision you could make is, God, I need you. And you might, Lord, I need you. That might be the first time that you've ever cried out to God in that way and said, Lord, I need you. Man, what a great place to start. What a great place to start with Jesus, knowing the God who loves you. And you can just say, God, I don't have all the answers. I'm in the midst of suffering and trial, but I know one thing. I need you. And that might be you today. And you maybe never made Jesus the Lord of your life or chose him before. But today's a really good day to do that. Because he'll meet you in the midst of your furnace. He'll meet you in your life today. And he'll help you. And guess what you do the next day? And for all of us, it's like, Jesus, you're the Lord of my life. One step. God, I don't know what to do, but Jesus, you're the Lord of my life. Next step, I'm falling over. Jesus, you're the Lord of my life. Just one step after another. Every day, that's our walk with Christ. Not having to know it all, but know the one who is our all in all, right? That's Jesus. Man, just know him. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? If there's someone in here today, or many people, you have not asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life and meet you in your need, I'm just encouraging you right now. Just begin to call out on him and say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Man, the Bible says, out of your belief in your heart and the confession with your mouth, that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. How awesome is that? You will have Jesus in the midst of your trial, living in you. Oh, the love of God will be alive inside your heart. What an awesome thing. It's just simple. Jesus, I need you. Be the Lord of my life. Would you call out to him, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Jesus, I need you. Church, can we just say that to him out loud? Everybody here, if it's in your heart, just say, Jesus, I need you. I need you right now in my trial and my struggle. I need you. Come, meet my need. God, I need wisdom. I don't know what to do. Show me where to put my foot next. Help me, God. No shame in your struggle, church. Just know you need it. Father, I'm praying a blessing over your people today, that God, your favor will rest on them. You'll fill them with your love. You'll fill them with wisdom. You'll fill them with intimacy with you. God, as they take their needs, as we all take our needs to you, we take them to you, Jesus, not to a church or a building or a thing, God, but to you, the living God, our intimate, loving God who knows us by name and meets us right where we're at, each one of us in all different places, in different temperatures of trials. God, meet our needs. Thank you, God, that you care about us that much. God, I'm praying that, God, your love will just overwhelm your people and they'll hear your voice today and they'll respond to your love and you'll fill them and you'll just ignite them today. Lord, and they'll keep needing you. We won't ever lose this perspective. And we could hope in our suffering. We could rejoice when trials come our way because we know that we're going to grow and we're going to come to know you more. And ultimately, God, you always finish the things you start with your people. Amen. Amen. First Peter 1:6. In this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials, these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Isn't that beautiful? These trials, this furnace, ultimately it's going to draw you into this intimate relationship with God, resulting in praise and glory and honor to God. This is great. Will you stand with me? Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And Romans 8:28. For we know that in all things God works together for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You're called according to his purpose? Come on now. It's going to work out for you in the end. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. And you're going to be glad you took your need to God and you allowed your real humanness, your nature, to be known by others. Amen? God bless you. Have a fantastic week. If you need prayer, please come forward. We'd love to pray with you. But enjoy your week. Open your heart to God. Continue to need him.
Control, never looking back. I see.